It's a Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Few food companies have had a more lasting impact on American eating and buying habits than Pittsburgh's own H.J. Heinz Company. By developing quality products and marketing them in innovative and creative ways, the company grew from a small local food purveyor into one of the most recognized brands in the world. Here to tell us more is History Center President and CEO Andy Masick. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
People all around the world know Heinz, of course, for its famous ketchup and other products like pickles, relish, and beans. People might not, though, be as familiar with the man behind the ketchup. What can you tell us about H.J. Heinz?
This is a great American story. His parents were from Germany. They were German immigrants. He was born in Sharpsburg, just right up the Allegheny River, where his mother had a garden and did her own canning. And as a 10-year-old boy, he says, "Boy, this is really good. People like your horseradish, Mom. Why don't we sell it?" And so he got a wheelbarrow, filled it up with jars of his mother's horseradish sauce, took it to downtown Pittsburgh, which is a pretty good walk from Sharpsburg, and he sold it. First day, he sold that wheelbarrow out. People love this horseradish sauce. And so he said, "Mom, what else can we make?" And she made other things for him. And this is a 10-year-old kid who's doing this. By 1869, he is now 20 years old, and he's got his own brand going, Heinz and Noble. Well, they had some problems in the early years. Some people got sick eating their stuff, and he went out of business. He was bankrupt in his 20s, but he came back strong, and he said, "We are going to make the best product anybody makes. It's going to be safe. It's going to be good to the taste. And you know what? We can do a common thing uncommonly well." So in 1876, he comes out with ketchup. A lot of people have been making ketchup. The Chinese had been making it for 1,000 years. But Heinz did a common thing uncommonly well. He made the best ketchup. He packaged it in clear glass bottles, not in brown glass or green glass as some of his competitors were. He wanted people to see how fresh and good his product was. Well, it worked.
Did they use any food coloring, or was it real natural coloring?
It was natural coloring, and he believed that he wanted to get it from farm to factory in 24 hours. He wanted to get it out of the field, squashed, mashed, pureed, purified, packaged in 24 hours. And that kept it fresh.
But how did he do that?
Well, he kind of vertically integrated his operation, just as Carnegie was doing with the steel industry, getting the raw materials, getting the coal and iron, Bessemer furnaces, transportation networks. He vertically integrated, and that's what Heinz did with his food products. The amazing thing is he came up with this ketchup, and everybody wanted it. But he noticed that, you know, when you have a bottle of ketchup, sometimes if it sits for a long time, it separates up at the top. Mm-hmm. You get that watery stuff. And if you leave it in the bottle for a long time, it even gets kind of discolored. It oxidizes, a little black at the top. It's very unsightly. So he took a paper label, like a cigar label, and put it right at the top of the bottle, at the neck where the product meets the air. So you couldn't see that part.
And that's right. That's the thing that tells you it's made in Pittsburgh.
That's right. And it says 57 right on it, 57 varieties.
Which leads me to my next question. Where did that famous 57 varieties slogan come from?
Well, I'll tell you, this guy was an intuitive marketer. And one day he was on an elevated train in New York City, and he flashes past a billboard that says 21 styles of shoes. And he thinks about that for a minute. And on the back of an envelope, he starts writing numbers down, trying to think about how many products do I have now? You know, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57. He wrote it down. he liked the look of it. It just had a good look. It turned out he had many more products than that, but he liked the number 57. He put it on mountainsides. He put it on billboards. He put it on every label of every product he made, and he branded with that 57 varieties.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, my guest Andy Masick, president and CEO of the Heinz History Center. And you mentioned the marketing prowess that was in H.J. Heinz's DNA. He just knew how to market products. How did he become such a gifted and innovative marketer?
Well, you know, he probably learned a lot on the streets of Pittsburgh, hawking wares out of his hand cart, about how people react to things. But it was really 1893 at the World's Fair in Chicago. It was the Great Columbian Exposition. That was the anniversary of Columbus's discovery of America. And they had a World's Fair. George Westinghouse was there with his light bulbs and lit up the whole fair. The Ferris wheel, George Ferris, another Pittsburgher, was there. But Heinz was a young entrepreneur. They put him on the upper level of the exhibit hall, and there were 150 steps you had to take to get up to Heinz's pyramids of horseradish sauce and pickles and ketchup. Nobody was going up there. So on the fly, he comes up with this idea. He prints up these little luggage tags with brass foil on it, so it kind of looked like gold. And he got street urchins, little boys, grubby little boys with nothing to do. He gave them a penny each, and they threw these little luggage tags around on the floor of the first floor of the exhibit hall. Well, people walking arm in arm would catch the glint of gold out of the corner of their eye. They'd stoop down, pick up this little luggage tag, and it said, "Bring to the Heinz booth on the third floor and get a free prize." Well, people would look at each other and say, "Hey, well, let's go see what we won." And they trooped up the steps by the hundreds. Paul, by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, people found their way to the Heinz booth. It was a huge hit. All the other vendors on the third floor said, "H.J., you saved us." They pitched in, bought him a silver punch bowl, engraved his name on it,
wow.
And it was a huge hit. Well, the prize that people got when they turned in their luggage tag?
A pickle pin?
It was the pickle pin. That was the birth of the pickle pin, 1893.
I remember getting that. That was the obligatory tour that you took as a grade school kid in Pittsburgh, and that was one of the first things they handed you was a pickle pin.
And now you know how you get your pickle pin. You come to the Heinz History Center. We have exhibits in the stairways. And if you take the stairs to get the exhibits, you get a certificate and you take it to our gift shop and you get a pickle pin. That's the UPMC Smart Steps, we call it.
Amazing. The name Heinz has become synonymous with the culture of Pittsburgh. It's even part of your museum's name, of course. How can our listeners learn more about the Heinz Company at the Heinz History Center?
We have a terrific exhibit about the Heinz Company. It's on the fourth floor, and you walk up the stairs, of course, so you can get your pickle pin, and you first encounter 10-year-old H.J. Heinz. We have lifelike figures throughout the museum, and you see all of the products that he made. You learn about how he came up with that clear ketchup bottle. Then you walk down a lane and find all the advertising slogans that they ever used, including all the great commercials from Anticipation,
right,
to Morris the Cat and Sunkissed products, Charlie Tuna. You'll find all of these Heinz stories there. And as you go through the exhibit, you're going to find out how Heinz translated this boyhood interest into the largest purveyor of food in the world. And he became an entrepreneur that sold its products on every continent except Antarctica. And you'll learn about his sales force. His employees were very loyal to them because he paid them better. The women who packed the pickles got manicures every day. some of them thought he was being nice to them, but he wanted their hands clean and wanted to make sure his food was as pure and safe as it could be.
Learned his lesson from the early horseradish debacle.
That's right. And in 1903 to 1906, he really pushed through national legislation, the Pure Food and Drug Act, that keeps us safe today. So you'll learn the whole Heinz story right up to the present. As you know, Heinz merged with Kraft recently. Now it's called Kraft Heinz, and they have co-headquarters in Pittsburgh and Chicago. It went from a $12 billion company to a $30 billion company and the fifth largest food company on the globe.
And what did Heinz do for the Pittsburgh economic outlook? Because that factory and those buildings that go with it, that whole manufacturing operation on the north side, I mean, it takes up a good part of that northern hillside. And you can see it from a lot of different areas of Pittsburgh. It's a large plant. It employed a lot of people in its heyday and still does today. So what did it do for Pittsburgh in terms of providing jobs and keeping the economic wheels turning?
There are so many ways that H.A. Heinz's business impacted our community in positive ways. There's, of course, that physical plant that's being repurposed for housing and other things now. There's still the H.J. Heinz company here today at their innovation center, inventing new products and perfecting products that they have. But we see the Heinz legacy all around us, whether it's at Heinz Hall or Heinz Chapel or the Heinz School or the Senator John Heinz History Center. You see the Heinz legacy all around us. And I think wherever a Pittsburgher goes around the world, they go to a restaurant and they see a bottle of ketchup on the table. First thing they do is turn it around, look at the label, just to make sure it's Heinz.
And anybody who's from Pittsburgh will show it off to his friends or his company that he's with and say, by the way, that's made in my hometown of Pittsburgh.
That's right. And then they'll probably show them how to get the ketchup out of the bottle by tapping on the 57 embossed on the neck of the bottle. That's the legend that tells you how to get ketchup flowing.
Something every Pittsburgher would know. Andy Masick is president and CEO of the Heinz History Center. As always, great thanks.
It's good to be here.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Next week, you'll want to make this programming note. The Republican National Convention is taking place in Cleveland, and we will be preempted in the evenings by NPR's live coverage of that. On Monday, we'll have Governor Wolf with us to talk about passing the budget. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Have a great weekend.